I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to another edition of Star Chat alongside the award-winning Kevin Turner at KT Fun Tweets. I'm Jared Sandler. As always, Star Chat brought to you by Blankety Blank. Go to blanketyblank.com. They got a sweet sale going on. Three Blankety Blanks for the price of one. You can call them at 972-BLANKETY-BLANK, 817-BLANKETY-BLANK, 214-BLANKETY-BLANK, or they even are in Olney now. What's that zip code? Or that area code?
763. Oh, it's 940.
940, yeah. Blankety blank. Yeah. To get a sweet blankety blank deal.
And the first 10 callers to call now, you get an extra blankety blank on top of it.
You do. One for you and one for your best friend.
Yeah.
All right.
You can't have both of them. You have to give one to someone else.
And the people at Blankety Blank are so thorough, they will check on you. They will give you 1 week to find a friend. And if you can't find a friend to take your extra blankety blank, then both will be taken from you because you're just not deserving.
It's a little creepy, honestly, how close they monitor you.
I mean, they're here right now, like just making sure that we give this read properly because we're full service, you know?
Yeah. Woke up the other night, middle of the night, boom, blankety blank, right in my face. It's like, whoa, just right what's
there. And you got all the different colored ones, too.
Yep.
They got, you know, a whole spectrum of colors.
An assortment.
It patterns everything. It's great. It's all different categories, genres. Man, blankety blank.
All stuff.
They're so versatile. All right. So we got three orders of business. We're going to review the Cowboys-Giants game, preview the Cowboys-Seahawks matchup, and look ahead to the Week 3 slate and give you our top five. So I guess 3.5 orders of business. Let's start with the Cowboys and the Giants. And I guess it all starts with Dak with the deep ball early and the RPOs, the conversation seems to be how he ran the ball early. The Cowboys offense moved. He didn't run the ball in the middle of the game. Cowboys offense stalled out when they needed a big possession late. They put the ball in his hands, at least bringing that weapon back out on display. And I understand why they don't stick with that for four quarters because your backups are Cooper Rush and Mike White. And even if you had a better set of backups or a better backup, there's a reason why that player or those players are your backups. But definitely nice to see that Dak's not perfect. If you hold him to the Aaron Rodgers expectation, you're going to be disappointed. If you hold him to the Brady expectation, you're going to be disappointed. But it certainly was nice to see him let that deep ball rip early on.
Yeah, finally. And I think it was also nice to see, you know, different formations. Not the same old, hey, here's two tight ends and all that stuff. And they've actually mixed it up better than, I guess, what the fan narrative would say.
Yeah, I want to give you credit here. When everyone last week was jumping on Scott Linehan and Jason Garrett for a lack of creativity in week one, you came on here and said, well, let's hold on here.
Yeah.
They did do some things that were creative. They ran the option. They did come out with some play. It wasn't as much as we'd like, but let's not act like they didn't, you know, try to be creative. And you were kind of on top of that from week one.
Yeah, and I think it's a thing where obviously it's going to be real easy to nitpick at things when the offense isn't going smooth. They went into some of their old patterns and behaviors in the second quarter and in the third quarter and kind of snapped out of it a little bit in the fourth when they had that long drive. But it's kind of like that's what this team's probably going to do. I mean, Linehan is probably going to go back to some of those things. It's going to be a thing where they knew they were going to try to throw the deep ball, but they also knew Landon Collins was going to be playing in the box. So, you know, hey, a lot of teams are going to be playing up in the box trying to shut down Zeke. So you're going to have to throw early on in games to prove that you can win. And I think that was good that they did that. I think there were some things that happened on offense that make you go, okay, I see what this could be. And there were some probably even more things that happened on offense that went, man, this is going to be tough to overcome. A lack of talent at wide receiver and a lack of talent at tight end. And there were some, but you know, my biggest takeaway of the entire game was the fact that Dak got his confidence back. And I'm not talking about one deep ball to Tavon. I'm talking about pretty much every throw that required him to drop back, set, look through progressions, step up in the pocket, and fire. He released the ball with confidence, and we hadn't seen him do that since before the Atlanta game last year. So for a growing quarterback, and we're in, you know, I joke around that we have 80 games to judge a guy off of because the franchise tag, right?
Right.
Well, we still have 45 games left of Dak, right? If you're going to use the franchise tag, you can think about that down the line. We have 45 games left. And to me, he hit that little downward spiral at the end of last year and in week one this year, and then we saw signs of him snapping out of it. If he snaps out of it and goes back to what we think he's going to do and keeps improving, then there's no worries about what Dak's going to be.
And I think especially, and we'll get to the defense in a second, so far two games in, and it's just two games, the identity of this team is more so defense than offense, and so you love a quarterback that's not going to just give the ball away, and Dak's done that. You mentioned the future of Dak Prescott. You know, that's obviously the cloud hanging over everything Dak does. Is this the guy you want to give nine figures to be your future quarterback? But you're right. Yes, it's an evolving conversation, and it's not that we should ignore it, but no decision needs to be made this year. And so it's not like you're facing that dead end and you've got to make a move. You've still got time to go with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's no rush at all, and I know everyone jumps to that because it's a narrative. And it was a narrative in the offseason because the media needed something to talk about in a month. And it's like, what? Why are we talking about Dak getting money right now, okay? And by the way, when it's time to pay Dak, the salary cap will have inflated even more, and the average salary for Dak will probably be higher, okay? So, like, what a $20 million quarterback makes now is probably be 25.
Yeah.
Then. So, like, you have to think about all that crap, and this is why I think it's kind of foolish to start judging Dak right now. Again, year three, I get it. You want to start to see signs. Man, it's week two, man. People are jumping off the ledge in week one, and he was horrible in week one. The confidence is back. The numbers, the overall numbers, look, 16 to 25, under 200 yards. Look around the league, though. There are quite a few quarterbacks who didn't throw for 200 yards this week.
Yeah.
And, you know, their team ended up winning, you know. So I think that's interesting as well. You don't want Dak throwing the ball 30 times, right? Haven't we talked about that a million times? We've done this for years now. What's the key to the game? Cowboys control the ball, run it, okay? Let's make sure Dak doesn't have to throw it 30 times. And that's what they got. If Dak's throwing the ball 25 times a game, Cowboys have a good chance of winning.
Yep, I would agree. You mentioned the receivers. So it seems like the Cowboys are going to bring Bryce Butler into the mix. They did not decide it was worth their while to make a deal similar to what the Patriots did to get Josh Gordon. Patriots will give up a fifth if Gordon's active for 10 of the remaining 14 games. Anything less, it's just a seventh. On one hand, I'll tell you that the Bryce Butler thing to me is, you know, doesn't really move the needle. He's had opportunities, hasn't really done much, seems like a great guy. I don't know, maybe this second go-around it'll work. But I'm not expecting him to really be super productive. He's had his chances. But, you know, with Josh Gordon, the potential is there. I'll also say with him, you know, yeah, when he's on the field, he's a really reliable, really good player. But he's not on the field very often. And it just seems like there's always something that's coming up. And obviously the Browns felt like he had worn out his several welcomes, if you will. I'm not, like, totally disappointed the Cowboys didn't get Josh Gordon. Obviously, the ceiling is way higher with Gordon than Butler. What's disappointing about the Gordon thing is it seems like it's a no-risk move.
Yeah.
Because at worst, you're giving up a fifth. Very possible you're giving up just a seventh. And if, you know, at the end of that, let's say the ninth week, he's about to be active for a tenth game and you're not happy with him, then you release him.
For a fifth-round pick, it's not – you're right. It's a no-risk move. We'll be back at the Cowboys' last 10 fifth-round draft picks. And you're sitting there going, okay, only a couple of those guys are you even heard of at this point. Okay, like,
yeah.
So, and I would say this, the risk there is if some of his baggage lingers and affects
others,
the Irvings and the Gregories of the world. And I just think it's a little bit different. And I know, obviously, like, guys on the different side of the ball, they hang out, like, offensive guys, you typically hang out with offensive guys. So I don't know if he would come in and, like, really affect Randy Gregory or David Irving in a negative way. I think that's kind of far-fetched. I think that's just some easy carrot you can just go chomp on. Like, I don't even think that would really be the case. But I would say if for a fifth rounder, I'm going, yeah, you should have been involved. Like, and else is like for risk, like you said, no risk. How about every move is a risk? Hey, guess what? Your quarterback could break his freaking ankle next week. You know, Zeke could get hurt. Like, anyone is a risk. It plays football. So, like, if you're telling me a guy, oh, well, we can't bring Josh Gordon in because he could get suspended. Well, no crap. So could someone else.
It could happen to anyone.
I mean, to me, given the talent at wide receiver on this roster, kind of irks me that they wouldn't just be like, hey, I'll give you a fourth.
Yeah, I'll one-up him. Yeah.
And if Cleveland would have done it, Cleveland didn't want to trade him in the AFC anyways. Yeah. So I don't know, man. That was a strange one for me.
Yeah, and Bryce Butler seems like a nice guy. He's obviously got some tools, just hasn't ever, even in college, never, that's all he was. He was hype and tools and never consistently put it together.
The thing I like about Bryce Butler, though, and this is why I'm okay with what's happening here, assuming this goes down, because at the time of recording, it's not official here, but assuming he's added to the roster, I don't know if there's going to be an odd man out. I really don't, but I do know that Dak likes him.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. And I go back to week 17 last year, Cowboys scored on a slant route to Bryce Butler for the touchdown. And Dak looked to Bryce quite a bit. Bryce knows all the routes. Bryce can handle the offense, all that stuff. It's just more of a thing of, you know, and it's the thing, it's not Bryce's fault that he's been all hype, is it? I mean, he's a freak athlete with size and speed. Like, it's not really his fault that he hasn't been able to put it together. Maybe it is. I don't know.
I would disagree with you. Some of it is his fault.
His body type's a little on the frail side, but, you know, just because you're size and speed doesn't mean you're a great football player. So I know that for the Cowboys to bring him in, though, doesn't that tell you that they're at least concerned a little bit about their offense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
no doubt about it.
Why wouldn't you consider Josh Gordon? That's where everything, to me, I don't know. It's very strange to me.
All right, before we get to the Seahawks, I want to throw two things out there. First of all, how good is the secondary?
This secondary?
Yeah.
I think they're pretty good, man. And I think it was the Odell Beckham test case that we got right there. I mean, I kind of had expected, hey, whatever happens with the Giants, Odell's going to be the one that kills us. And going into the game, and it wasn't the case at all.
Yeah.
Cheeto looks to be good. Byron looks to be really good.
Yeah,
Byron
should have
never
Byron.
Been moved.
What's that?
Byron should have never been moved away from corner in the first place. But
I'm liking Byron there a lot.
And I feel a lot better about this once they get Xavier back as well. Because I do think, you know, we did see a breakdown at the end. I don't know if that was Heath's fault or Jalen's fault.
Just going to ask you, Jeff Heath report.
It looked like Jeff Heath's fault, but Jeff Heath makes enough plays to, hey, blow a coverage every now and then, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Jeff Heath flies around and makes plays. I'm so impressed with the defense, just the effort level. The effort level is so good. The defense is now a defense that can play four quarters and not get tired and has enough bodies to finish games and play at a constant level of aggression. And that wasn't always the case. There would be times over the last few years where you'd sit there and go, hey, man, this defense has a chance to be pretty good. And then you would put some subs in or you get the rotation going and they would hit lulls, or an injury like Sean Lee would just tank the entire unit.
Yeah.
And now they can withstand that. I'm confident they can withstand a Sean Lee injury. And that might sound crazy to a lot of people, but
even with the intangible stuff and the quarterbacking, the play calling, the recognition and stuff.
I just think there's enough bodies to get through it, man. I mean, all week we were talking about Leighton Van Der Esch might get the start at strong side linebacker. All right. And it was game time. They're like, okay, well, Damian, we're going to give Damian one last chance. And then Damian Wilson flew around all game long and made plays all day.
Yeah.
How do you start Leighton now? And Leighton played great. He had seven tackles. Okay, Leighton was good. Leighton had third most tackles on the team. He didn't start. Like, there's a lot of players.
Yeah.
Safety's the only unit that you're not deep at.
But there's definitely depth all the way around, especially the cornerback spot.
Yeah.
All right, last question I want to ask you before we get to the Seahawks. Zeke or Saquon? Forget contract situation. Who has a better career?
Man, I'm going to say Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're talking about a thing, about a guy. I mean, God, they're both so big. They're going to be able to play through two contracts, I think. Both guys. Just because how big they are.
Yeah. Do you want to give Zeke that second contract?
I don't. Right now. We could talk about that, though.
That's a bigger discussion.
I mean, the good thing is, like, Zeke comes with that fifth-year option. So there's that. And then franchise tag if you need it, you know?
Yeah.
Then I feel like I've kind of burned out the guy by then. The way they use Saquon is so good. I mean, 14 catches, dude. And the Cowboys were giving those catches away.
Yeah, and they did a good job preventing those catches from turning into big-time plays.
But that's a great question, dude. I think if you asked me right now, I think I would say Saquon.
Okay, yeah, and I would agree. And a part of me, maybe this is old man of me, it seems like off the field, Saquon is way stabler.
And Saquon was going to show up in shape.
Yeah, and just, you know, that might not make a big difference at 23, 24, 25 years old, but at 28, 29... Yeah. I'll take the guy that seems like he's got his head on a little more straight.
I think that's a good point, man. And the reason I was hesitant to say Saquon is because out of college, I liked Zeke a little bit more than Saquon. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. It was close, though, because, God, Saquon's good.
They're both
impressive. I'm gonna say Saquon. Sorry, Zeke.
The Star Chat brought to you by Blankety Blank. Go to BlanketyBlank.com. New location open in Olney, Texas.
Yeah, the big store.
The big O. but they got Metroplex locations throughout blanketyblank.com. And if you haven't caught our drift, this can be your company. We will absolutely pimp the crap out of your company and give them all the love and all the time. Just email sam.morton@entercom.com, chelsea.dickinson@entercom.com, andy.brooks@entercom.com, robbie.bohm@entercom.com, eden.lucas@entercom.com. Hell, even email tim.collins@entercom.com.
Yeah.
Or ben.rogers@entercom.com.
Doesn't matter, man. Just email everybody.
Email someone, yeah. All right. Cowboys, Seahawks. Seahawks are their home opener. They're 0-2. So all that sort of stuff. Oh, they're going to be hyped for their home opener. And, oh, they're going to be faced with the prospect of going 0-3. I guess that works in their favor. You know, I think it depends team to team whether that stuff even matters. We got to see the Seahawks last night playing the Bears, but good chance that we see a different Seahawks team on Sunday because they probably will get Bobby Wagner back.
Yeah.
They will probably get KJ
Wright
back. Don't know whether Michael Kendricks will be in jail or not by then or suspended.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
But weird deal.
There's a chance Michael Kendricks is playing. But I guess the two things jump out to me about the Seahawks. Their defense isn't horrible.
No.
But their defense just is not intimidating and not a unit where you're like, man, we're lucky if we get this, we're lucky if we get that. That is a very beatable defense. They're athletic, and they're obviously way better with Wright and Wagner than without. But that is a very beatable defense.
Very beatable defense. And look, they're clearly a retooling team. I guess the one thing that I would say, and I know you probably feel the same way because you've seen this team do it so many times, I never feel confident playing them, especially in their house, and especially when they're desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me had them kind of wanting to beat the Bears.
To get that one win,
and then maybe, I don't know if that crap even matters, but, man, I sure know an 0-2 desperate Seattle team playing their home opener, okay? I mean, that place is hard enough to play as it is, much less the first game of the year where it's lit and the crowd knows this team needs to win it to stay in it. Man, this is going to be a difficult game for the Cowboys, and I think this is a bad Seahawks team.
Yeah, and Vegas has Seattle favored right now.
Yeah,
you know, fair. Somewhere between 1 and 2 points. So obviously you got to contain Russell Wilson. I don't think offensively they got a lot of weapons.
They don't.
You know, I don't mind the tandem of Carson and Penny. You obviously are much more familiar with those guys from your film study. I think they can do some things, but I'm not worried about either of those guys helping them control the clock. The receiving core is brutal, especially without Doug Baldwin. Tyler Lockett's fine, but he's not a guy. I think Tyler Lockett's a Robin, not a Batman. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they don't have Jimmy Graham, but Will Dissly. I'm curious. I'd like to get your thoughts on Will Dissly. I assume you watched tape of him coming out of Washington.
What a steal, man. I mean, I liked him okay. Broadus is the guy who really liked Dissly.
And he's had a really good start. If you're not familiar with him, he's Seattle's tight end one now. who's gone off to a really good start.
Yeah, he had a 100-yard game in week one. Three catches. He had three catches again in the Monday night game. They don't have anyone on offense who can beat you one-on-one.
Yeah.
The guys that you have to worry about are, as you mentioned, Tyler Lockett, because he's pretty crafty route runner, pretty good speed.
And really good when Russell gets outside of the pocket. Yeah. Lockett's a good improviser.
Scramble drill guy. Yeah. He's Terrence Williams on turbo, though. Like, he's a much better Terrence Williams. He is not some freakazoid wide receiver one, you know?
Right.
Don't know how much they're going to get out of Brandon Marshall, but you do have to be aware of him in the red zone because they'll throw it up to him. Penny, I like Penny. He hasn't broke anything yet, but he's got the big home run playability. Okay, so that's there. And the way they've been calling plays, there's been frustration in Seattle with the offensive coordinator. I saw a stat where of the first 84 plays they called this year, 61 were passes, 23 were runs. So they're almost 2-3 passing, which that's not too far from the norm, honestly.
And I saw a stat last night, KT, and I maybe I'm looking at this wrong. Last year, of the 38 touchdowns they scored, Russell Wilson threw or ran 37 of them. That means they had one rushing touchdown from a guy not named Russell Wilson.
I believe it, man.
That's kind of nuts.
I don't think they're going to try to run the ball too much. I really think they just run the ball as a way to kind of take your eyes off what's going on with Russell. And look, it's a real weird situation with them because I look at their offense. Their offense, to me, really starts at the offensive line again.
Yeah.
And it's like, my God, they've missed on a lot of draft picks.
Yeah.
A lot of draft picks. And I was not a fan of the Rashad Penny draft pick there. Like the player just fine, but I thought that it was weird that's what they wanted to do. Jermaine Ifedi, poor guy from A&M, who I also thought they reached for in the draft a few years ago. He had Von Miller, got him for 3 times. He had Khalil Mack in the Monday night game. And now he's got DeMarcus Lawrence coming at him. I mean, the Cowboys are going to sack Russell Wilson. They're going to sack Russell Wilson, multiple times. 3, 4, 5, 6 times. The key is going to be how many times does he make up for that by getting out of the grasp and turning it into a 25-yard play down the field. Because that's the only way Seattle can beat you. It has to happen through him. And here's the thing with him. I've seen him do it.
Yeah.
They're squirrely, man. They'll pull some rabbits out of their hat. They'll do some weird stuff like that. And that's why this game makes me a little bit nervous as a Cowboys fan sitting there going, man, I just don't feel confident that we're just going to go in and stomp what I would normally think we're a superior team. I don't know if that's going to be the case on Sunday.
I'd love for DeMarcus Lawrence to just be a game changer.
Yeah.
Jermaine Ifedi is...
Taco, too?
Taco would be great. Ifedi's dealt with Von Miller and Khalil Mack. I think those guys are on a different level than Tank, obviously, but there are, as you mentioned, there are sacks to be had here.
Yeah, and we can come at him from both sides, though, too, and we'll see if Randy Gregory plays. That'll be interesting to see. I think he should be back from concussion, so there's that as well.
Yeah, I love when you get him from both sides. That will really limit Russell's ability to extend plays.
Absolutely.
Now, get a little sticky, but...
Don't you think the key player in this game is Michael Dixon?
Yeah. I mean, he's always the key player every single time.
Isn't that incredible?
Shout out to Gavin Spittle, who loves punters.
Yep.
All right, so let's preview the week ahead.
Are you going to predict this game?
Yeah, let's predict it. All right. Maybe I'm buying into, what you're saying. I'm going to go Cowboys... Ball to the Seahawks. Nope. Nah, I can't do it. The Seahawks offense to me is just so bad. Give me Cowboys 23, Seahawks 16.
It is a bad offense.
23-19. Somehow they're going to get 19.
Okay, 19. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking in the same realm of a lot of field goals happening.
Yeah, big field goal.
So game. I'm going to go Seahawks 16.
Cowboys 15 with 5 field goals.
Cowboys 12.
All right. 4 field goals?
Yep.
Or a touchdown, 2-point conversion, and 2 safeties?
4 field goals.
Okay. All right.
Sucks, I know.
So there you go. So
I want to pick them to win. I really do, but I'm just home opener, dude.
The what?
They got to have it.
Oh, home opener.
Home opener, yeah.
Okay. I was wondering what you're saying there. All right, so you want to look ahead at week three?
Home opener? The home opener.
The home opener brought to you by Blankety Blank. That's all their locations. 64 locations across the Metroplex, 5 just in Olney.
Times four. Yeah.
With a couple
forgot
of
about those extra ones.
Yeah, the bonus ones. All right. All right, so let's go through the week three matchups. We'll start with the Thursday night game, Jets and Browns. How long before Baker Mayfield is their starting quarterback? Because I'm not really impressed with Tyrod Taylor.
I'm not either, and I think it would have to be soon, right? Maybe not prime time, though. I think probably week four.
Oh, no. Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I wonder if this is the perfect final game for Taylor because Baker will then get extra time to prep.
This was the plan, though, right, for him to sit all year. So we'll see how committed Dorsey is to the plan or who's in charge there.
It just seems like Dorsey. They're never – it's so rare that they fully commit to the plan.
They've got kickers ruining
I know. They very well could them. Be 2-0.
That'll change your plan pretty quickly.
Yep, they very well could be 2-0. Sam Darnold, listen, I'm a very proud USC alum. I'm glad that we're not putting this guy in the Hall of Fame just yet. He'll sling the ball. It is crazy to see a Jets quarterback with over 300 passing yards.
Yeah.
But he's got to improve his decision making. All right, the Packers and the Redskins. I'm impressed with Green Bay's D, even though they wilted late in the game. I do like what they've got going on defensively. They've obviously committed a lot of resources to the defensive side. I think the Rodgers knee thing is an evolving discussion. But I do like what they're doing defensively. I think the Packers win this one.
He didn't move well, but seeing how well he was able to throw the ball and still hit targets and stuff was very positive for Packers fans. And the Redskins losing to the Colts, I mean, after the week one win, I was like, hey, the Redskins might be okay. And then, you know, you lose to the Colts. It's like, what? So, easy win for the Packers.
All right, the Saints and the Falcons. I'm really confused by New Orleans.
Atlanta.
and Atlanta. That's true.
Both of them.
And their use of Julio Jones is really weird. I feel like that guy should be better. I think he is better than the numbers that they put him in a position to collect.
Would you rather have Michael Thomas or Julio Jones?
I'd rather have Julio. But Michael's, if you put Julio in the Saints offense for a year, I mean, I think his numbers are silly.
28 catches in 2 games, man.
Michael Thomas really good, though, obviously.
Yeah.
Will Alvin Kamara be able to run the ball? He's obviously going to be a threat in the passing game. The running game has not been a strength for him so far.
They're having a hard time, and once they get Ingram back, I think that'll help, but 2 more weeks.
Yeah, and I think it looks like they need Ingram more and more.
Yes.
When he got suspended, it's like, that's fine. I think they do need him.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
The change of pace is big. Niners, Chiefs.
High-scoring game. Can you believe how good Pat Mahomes has been?
I mean, I was in the camp that thought he would be good. I was not. I mean, I definitely didn't think he would be. He is an absolute flipping game changer. And right now, I mean, it's silly to say this after 2 weeks. He's your offensive MVP in the NFL.
Andy Reid doesn't get enough credit in this world
for quarterback development
and just
recognition
schemes, things like that, play calls, things like that.
Now, Kansas City, as you mentioned, can't stop anyone. So that game could be in the hundred.
That game could be in the hundred. Could be
fun. The over. Oakland, Miami. Oakland 0-2, Miami 2-0. I'm not convinced, though, that Oakland isn't a better team than Miami. Either way, to me, Miami's the most fraudulent of the 7-2-0 teams.
Oh, yeah. Not even close. Yeah, Miami is not even a blip on my radar. You know? Ugh, Tannehill, just no fun at all.
Nope. Buffalo, Minnesota. In my opinion, you got the best team in the NFC and the Vikings against the worst team possibly in the NFL, certainly in the AFC and the Bills.
Yeah, they're going to run it up on them. Kirk Cousins is a beast.
Josh Allen, week two. Yeah. Didn't look good. And they might not have LeSean McCoy with the rib cartilage thing.
That's going to get bad. It's going to get real ugly.
If I'm LeSean McCoy, I might quit at halftime of the next game I play too.
If I played for the Bills, I'd be quitting halftime every week.
And then I would come back
and see if they let me.
Keep coming back. Brought to you by Blankety Blank. All right. You got Indy and Philly. Frank Reich against the Eagles. Carson Wentz back. Question, and I think we agree Philly's probably going to win this one.
I think so, yeah.
Wentz, Watson, Mahomes. You got to pick one for the next 10 years. Who do you take?
Wentz, Mahomes, Watson.
In that order?
Yeah.
All right. I would go, am I a sucker if I say Mahomes, Wentz, Watson?
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to say Mahomes wins Watson.
But Watson last, right?
Yeah, I agree with Watson last. I wonder if the decision-making will ever... I mean, he's going to get you your 16 interceptions.
He's going to get him. He's going to get there.
And I think that of the three, he needs the running game the most.
Yes, I would agree.
Which is the scariest long-term.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, Carolina, Joe Mixon out for the Bengals. They're 2-0. Again, not totally sold on them. I think this is going to be a really good test for them, though, and I'm curious to see which Carolina team we get.
Carolina's going to be that, like, 8-8, 9-7 type of team where they're Jekyll and Hyde all year long.
Yeah.
They're just hard to figure out.
Tennessee, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville looks damn good.
Yeah.
Man.
And if Blake Bortles can do just enough, which he certainly did on Sunday, then...
Their OC deserves credit, too.
Yeah.
Drawing up plays, finding a way to make it work, especially without Fournette. They're fine without Fournette. When he's gone, they're 4-0, I believe. So
there you go. Well,
no problems.
Yeah. Denver, Baltimore. I think it's a good matchup. I'm not sure what to make of Baltimore. Their big win was against Buffalo. Didn't look very good against Cincinnati.
Yeah, this is the game where I don't really know what to think of these teams.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, yeah, if either of these teams is the sixth seed in the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. And if either of these teams missed the playoffs by multiple games, I don't think we'd be surprised either.
Not at all.
Chicago, Arizona. I guess let me answer this. Worst team, Arizona or Buffalo?
Arizona looks so bad. I think it's Buffalo still, but yeah, it's Sam Bradford.
Just put in Josh Allen.
Horrible.
Or Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen.
Just put in Josh
Rosen. I agree. I'd love to see Josh Rosen.
Why not?
And don't you think the Bears, I mean, again, it was just Seattle, but the Bears.
And the Bears are really good.
Look pretty good, man.
I guess a lot of it depends on how Mitchell Trubisky develops. Because his decision-making and some of his throwing mechanics and throwing off his back foot, not great. But that defense is scary.
Yeah, that's a really good defense. Do enough to keep you in games, though.
Agree. The Chargers and the Rams, the L.A. battle, no Joey Bosa. I think that certainly hurts the Chargers. Give me the Rams. But I don't mind either team. I think the Rams are
both teams quite a bit. I actually like the Chargers more than I think a lot of people do. But, yes, the Rams right now. You could argue the class of the NFC.
Yeah.
You know, I'd still probably lean Minnesota right now, but you could argue that with the Rams.
New England, Detroit, this isn't going to be fun.
The Patricia battle.
Yeah. I mean, Detroit might score some points. But I mean,
Detroit could win that game, right?
You think so? I don't think. I don't know. New England coming off a loss to me.
They usually come back pretty focused.
Yeah. They're not a team that, like, they're not a grass team that struggles on turf. I don't know. Maybe. I guess that'll be interesting. Detroit needs it. They need that one maybe more than New England does, although a loss would drop New England to 1-2.
Yeah.
All right, Pittsburgh-Tampa. This could be fun because the score could be like 70-67.
This is going
to
be great, man. The Pittsburgh defense sucks so bad. Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing out of his butt. You can't put Jameis back in, can you?
No, and I don't know. I'm not a big Jameis guy, so maybe I'm biased on that. But
I'm not a big Fitzpatrick guy, though. Either.
Yeah, yeah. But it seems like they're rolling. I think you got to ride it out. You know, I don't want to compare this to a Tony Dak situation, but I think you may as well ride it out with Fitz.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, and then he throws his 6 interceptions over 2 games, and maybe you can make a decision.
Get as many wins as you can.
The Antonio Brown Pittsburgh thing is really weird, and Le'Veon Bell posting pictures of like throwing parties is weird too.
Yeah, Antonio Brown not showing up for practice on Monday, but then coming back and saying his agent said that he didn't want to be traded. So. Yeah,
this is really. It seems like things are quickly getting dysfunctional in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and how much of that goes to Mike Tomlin? Like Pittsburgh doesn't fire their coaches; they let guys stay tenured, and work there for a long time.
Yeah,
but at some point you got to get control of things, right?
The wheels are really falling off there.
Yeah.
All right, those are the games this week. Let's give you our top five. How do you want to do this? You want to go 5-1 or each?
Yeah, 5-1, fine.
Okay. And we always have to make this clear. It's not the 5 best teams right now, or I guess is it? Is it the 5 best teams right now, or is it the teams who you look at and say, yeah, they might be 1-1, but this is still the 5th best team or the 3rd best team or whatever? Like the Patriots are 1-1, but
yeah,
maybe you put them over.
Just who's the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you, you want to do yours first?
But I wouldn't have the Patriots in my top 5 right now.
All right, fair enough.
5, the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Who I like a lot, and although they should have lost that game against Green Bay, found a way to get the tie, and that kind of shows you how good they are with Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
4, let's go the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know they're coming off a loss to Tampa Bay, But I really feel like that defense is going to be good, and I really feel like that offense is going to score points, and they're getting Wentz back. So right now I'm going to keep the Super Bowl champs ahead of Minnesota. 3, Kansas City.
Okay.
Pat Mahomes tearing it up. 2, the Jacksonville Jaguars just murdered the Patriots. And 1, the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay. So I've got I got the Packers at 5.
Okay.
I'm throwing them in there. I'm not, the Eagles are the team that's not in for me. I want to wait another week to to figure that out. I go with I'm going with the Chiefs at 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm not looking at my list. I'm struggling to. I go with the Jacksonville Jaguars at 3. I go with the Rams at 2. And I don't know why. I hate that I'm saying this. I'm really high on the Vikings. I have them at 1 still.
Dalvin Cook's been so huge to that offense. I mean, we talk about Kirk Cousins a lot, but Dalvin Cook's been huge to that offense.
And you
Thielen
know
and Diggs are
the
impossible
Thielen Diggs combo is really good.
That's really good.
Yeah, I still have them at 1. And I guess for context, for folks who are wondering how I'm picking them 1, I've always been a big Kirk Cousins guy, and so I really believe in that guy. Yeah. So that's probably influencing my thoughts there. Plus, they got Dan Bailey. So
yeah.
Go Dan Bailey.
Dan Bailey, they'll knock down kicks at the end of the game, likely.
And they'll win games.
All that stuff. So.
All right, well, there you go. That's another week of Star Chat. He's Kevin Turner at KT Fun Tweets, the award-winning Kevin Turner, and I'm Jared Sandler. I've won no awards, but this podcast is still sponsored somehow by Blankety Blank. Blankety Blank's, you know, they're just so awesome that they've said, hey, we'll step aside if you get someone else who's, you know, ready to take charge. So
yeah,
don't be intimidated
generous.
By Blankety Blank's 64 locations in the Metroplex and 5 additional locations in Olney.
Times the other four.
Bonus locations. BlanketyBlank.com for more information. Again, he's KT. I'm Jared. Back with you next week. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Star Chat.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.